We're pleased to welcome former Chiefs wide receiver and current TV and radio broadcaster Danan Hughes back to the show. And Danan, as the Chiefs take this moment to honor Len Dawson, they do this special huddle, the type of huddle he was known for. What was it like to see it out there on the field, to hear the fans also honoring Len?
Well, it was incredible. It was an incredible experience. And I will say first that it was just a great show of class, not just by the Chiefs organization, but also from the Packers, Matt LaFleur, and his organization, as well as the officials. Everybody was involved in it. The penalty was called. And I don't know if you got a chance to hear the audio, but the official said the penalty was a delay of game on number 16, which was Len Dawson's number.
Aww.
So it was really cool. We got a chance to highlight it during the broadcast, but it just showed a lot of class between both organizations and the officials to be able to honor such an icon, not just a Kansas City icon, but an NFL icon in Len Dawson and his passing.
He was a Hall of Famer. He was a Super Bowl champion. He was an AFL champion. Knowing him the way that you did, Danan, what did he mean to this organization, this franchise that waited so long for another Super Bowl after that era had produced its winners?
Well, you know what? If you got a chance to talk to Len, he kind of fit right into this organization. And you know, when we look around the NFL, when you look at different teams, whether it's, you know, the Monsters of the Midway, and you see different guys on those teams, Hall of Famers or big names, you kind of say, okay, yeah, he kind of fits that. He kind of fits, you know, Lambeau, or fits Chicago, or fits New York. And that's what you got with Lenny. I mean, he kind of fit this. If you had a chance to get to know Lamar Hunt, you know, very unassuming, quiet, reserved, very humble person, for how great he was and all the great things he did with the AFL and the NFL and creating the Super Bowl and all that stuff. And Len kind of carried himself the same way. Like, you had to really, like, realize, whoa, like, that's Lenny Dawson. He's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame and as a broadcaster in the Hall of Fame. Very few people are in there in both. And you look at the Ring of Honor and you see him and you hear all the stories. And then the amazing work that he did on the broadcast when I was playing. And he comes and sits next to you in the locker room and just chats with you. And when the rookies come in town, he goes to dinner with the rookies and just sits down and chats and talks about old stories. And then you look at his, you know, his resume and what he was able to accomplish. I mean, he was 87 years old, led a complete life, a full life. We heard the stories during the broadcast today that, you know, he would go and practice all day long and then take off his equipment and then interview his teammates, then hustle to the local TV station, do the 6 o'clock news, go back home, eat with his family, then go and do the 10 o'clock news, and then do his more studying for his football job, and then do it all over every single day. And then, you know, what he was able to carry into inside the NFL. We know how that launched the NFL and broadcasting all the teams across the world. I mean, it's just amazing to think of. But as a person, and I tweeted this out, you know, when he passed away, that he was an incredible man and a KC icon, and it was in that order. And it was just such a treat to get to know him.
Mm. Danan Hughes is with us from the Chiefs broadcast, radio and TV, as a seat that Len Dawson held into, what was it, 2017? It wasn't that long ago that he was doing the color commentary for the Chiefs broadcast. So I can imagine it's kind of neat now to be in that same situation yourself and recognize these are some pretty incredible shoes that I've been filling. And and I can only imagine, too, what it meant to guys like Patrick Mahomes, others who followed along and played that same position, to have this Hall of Famer who was still around the team and part of the team even so many years after he played. But it mattered to him to be involved.
I have five kids, and there was a time where my little baby kids would put on my shoes and put their feet in my shoes, and you'd recognize that there's no chance that their feet could fill those shoes. That's kind of how I feel in the broadcast, because Len, the booth at Arrowhead Stadium is named after him. And what he meant to that organization, what he meant to guys like Patrick Mahomes, 2017, was when Patrick came into the league. And Patrick talked at length about the conversations he had with Len. Lenny, you know, was getting up there in age, and he recognized how special Patrick was in his first year when he didn't start, but he had that one start against the Denver Broncos in week 17. And Lenny, at that point, told Clark Hunt and everybody around him, that kid is going to be special. And lo and behold, we've seen what Patrick Mahomes can do. But it was just an amazing, amazing thought to an experience in watching him interact with guys and Travis Kelce. Like, Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce were not supposed to go on the field today. They weren't going to play in the game, so there was really no reason for them to go out on the field. And yet they made their way onto the field, and they said they wanted to be a part of that. That's how much respect that they had for Len Dawson and how much they wanted to honor him in that huddle for the first play on the offense. He's the epitome of what all of us former players should strive to be on and off the field, how he carried himself, the professionalism that he displayed. I mean, if you look through his resume, like, why wouldn't you want to have a chance to be in the same zone as him and fill the same booth and wear the same headphones and try to accomplish the same goals? He was a part of great championship teams, and he'll forever be missed.
In your conversations with him going back a few years, how happy was he to see the Chiefs win another Super Bowl?
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, if you go back to that Super Bowl in 2020, it was special, Amy, because we were in a separate section. We were in the stadium down in Miami, and we were all together within rows of each other. And as everybody was screaming and jumping around, our section was silent. There were tears. There were, hugs. I mean, it was different because we know, you know, for lack of better terms, we know that we had let the Chiefs' kingdom down throughout all the years that we had, 50 years between winning a Super Bowl. And Lenny was up there with us, and he was a part of that. And, you know, to know how much this organization means to us and how much we mean to them and how they embrace us as a family, even though we've played, you know, decades since we've been on the field, and to see how they were able to get over the hump, 13-3 seasons, number one seeds, losing in the first round, all that went down the drain when Patrick Mahomes was able to kneel down and we were able to get that victory. And Lenny was a part of that, and he was one of the brothers. It wasn't like he was, you know, a step ahead of us or above us. Guys like he and Jan Stenerud and Bobby Bell, Hall of Famers, we're all brothers. We're all part of the same fraternity, and that's how he always interacted with us.
Really appreciate your thoughtful words and your memories of Len Dawson, even as the team honors him at the beginning of its final preseason game against the Green Bay Packers just a few hours ago. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. So, Dana, now thinking about the Chiefs and their training camp of preseason, what stands out about the team and what you've seen so far?
I've seen a renewed energy, and that's crazy to say. When you talk about a team that's hosted the last four AFC championships, that's been to two Super Bowls, that's won the last six AFC West titles, and we're talking about a renewed energy. Like, teams would do anything to have the old energy, and we're talking about a renewed energy. And it's special to see. I think the defense is faster, we're younger, and they got a chip on their shoulder. And to me, that's a dangerous place to be when you're talking about having the best quarterback in football, having the best tight end in football, having some dangerous weapons and some young talent. We had 10 draft picks. They're calling our rookie class the Fab Five, like the Michigan Wolverines, because we got five rookies that are going to be big contributors on this team. So you got a healthy mix of old guys with a chip on their shoulder and high expectations, and young guys that are learning how to keep up with that. So I'm excited about this season. You know, we got the first portion of the season is going to be a gauntlet. I mean, we have to go out to Arizona, then we got to turn around quickly 5 days later and play at home against the Chargers, who everybody's picking to win the AFC West. And then we just kind of go through a lineup of really, really good teams. But that's what happens when you are a number one or number two seed seemingly every year since Patrick Mahomes has taken over. I mean, you're going to get the best schedule the next year, the best teams, and you got to step up and be the best team that you claim to be.
So does this renewed energy come from looking at a new challenge, a new and improved AFC West, or maybe a little bit about some of what the departing players have said regarding the Chiefs?
I think it's a mixture of all. I mean, as a former player, like, you think of everything, and you've been around athletics long enough. Like, players, they dream up stuff to have chips on their shoulders about. Like, he said something about my mama. He called, you know, he doesn't like dogs, and I'm a dog guy, so we're going to go out there and beat him up, you know, whatever it takes. And when you have that sour taste in your mouth about how the season ended in the AFC Championship at home against the Cincinnati Bengals, that can carry you through not just another season. It can carry you through an entire career. And those guys have that bad taste in their mouth, and they're determined to show what the real Chiefs are made of, and they want to start that against Arizona. And like I said, we've been fortunate so far, came out of the preseason relatively unscathed, and I think we're going to be able to come with all bullets in our chambers ready to go at Arizona. And this team has really been good under Andy Reid. If you look throughout his tenure, we've been really strong starters. And I go back to Marty Schottenheimer, who coached me. He used to say, start fast, finish strong. And that's what this team has done. Now, it hasn't been the strongest because we only got the one Super Bowl, but we've finished pretty darn strong, and I think that's what they're going to do this year.
When you hear a Tyreek Hill say that the team's really going to miss him and it's not going to be the same, what's your reaction to that?
I understand it. As a former player, there's a level of invincibility that we have that gets you to this point. Like, you don't think that people are better than you. You don't think that teams will be as good without you. That's the mindset you have to be able to excel at this level. And that can be in the NBA, NFL, NHL, wherever. And so I understand that mindset. But in the back of Tyreek's mind, I think he knows Andy Reid. He knows Eric Bieniemy. He knows Steve Spagnuolo. He knows what Brett Veach does in evaluating talent. And we may not be the same, but we're not going to be worse. And I think Tyreek Hill knows that. This team is going to look different, but I don't think they're going to produce any different. And I think a lot of his brothers on this team wish him well down in Miami. You know, it's unfortunate that you see different comments that he's made referring to Patrick Mahomes. And now this week we saw Sammy Watkins make some comparisons with Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. And you know what? Technically, I can live with Sammy Watkins saying that about Aaron Rodgers because he's a multi-MVP and he's a Hall of Famer. But Tua? Like, come on. Like Tyreek, you're stretching there. But I can understand as a player, you're trying to do what you can to support the quarterback that's throwing you the ball now. But they wish him the best. And who knows? We may see them in January.
You wouldn't think it was necessary to say anything at all. Great, talk about your new quarterback and how accurate he is, but there's not really anything to be gained by making these public comparisons and holding up Patrick Mahomes like he's some kind of a slouch.
Yeah, and you know what? Maybe you would be more reserved at saying something if you had to face Patrick Mahomes in week 7 or week 14 or something. But conveniently, you don't have to face him this regular season. Yeah, so I guess you can be a little bit more chatty.
Danan Hughes is a former Chiefs wide receiver, is with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. You mentioned some of the young players. Who are a couple of new Chiefs to watch that you've seen already show that they're fitting in?
I tell you what, Brian Cook is a safety from Cincinnati, had an interception today. I think he's going to do well. Trent McDuffie, the first-round corner, has really done solid. And the interesting thing about him is that through the broadcast, we haven't really said his name. And that's a good thing. That means that he hasn't done anything wrong on the field. Yeah, and there hasn't been any plays made in his area. So I'm confident about him. And George Karlaftis, the the first round pick from Purdue. I think he's going to bring a different kind of energy off the edge. He's had two sacks in the preseason, didn't play much this evening, but to me, he's a guy that has an engine. Kind of reminds me of Max Crosby, Jared Allen, who used to be here with the Chiefs, guys, Tamba Hali, who have that never die kind of energy. And he, mark my words, later this season, you might have me on, and I guarantee Karlaftis will have at least two, maybe three strip sacks.
Ooh.
Or chase down from behind, knock the ball loose from a ball carrier, because that's the kind of energy he brings to this defense. So that's going to be different. We haven't had that in a while, and I think it's going to work well with Chris Jones and Frank Clark and those guys.
Does the phrase 13 seconds now live forever in Chiefs infamy?
Absolutely. It's the greatest it's the greatest football game that I had ever witnessed.
Wow.
And the greatest executed football game that I had ever witnessed. You're talking about two teams that, to my recollection, didn't have a turnover in that game. Both quarterbacks playing at the top level. It reminded me of Montana versus Elway, the Monday night miracle that we had in 94 up in Denver, where it was just blow for blow, neither team making a mistake. One team just played better than the other. And 13 seconds to be able to accomplish what they were able to, It showed their coaching. It showed their preparation. You didn't see any guys freaking out on the sidelines, slamming helmets, being upset. They expected to put themselves in a position to tie that game. And I think when you look back, and I know the NFL Network has replayed that game over and over, you look back at how that game was executed. Josh Allen and the Bills taking advantage of miscues, and then the Chiefs popping back, and the big play by Tyreek, and the touchdown by Travis. So many great highlights in that game. I think it goes down as one of the greatest ever played.
Oh, Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, 7 touchdown passes between them, and a 42-36 final in overtime. Just part of an amazing NFL postseason last year. All right, so before I let you go, Dane, there's been a lot of traffic, a lot of change in the AFC West. What do you make of the new division?
You know what? It's par for the course. We've seen this before. Teams, when John Gruden was with the Raiders, when Patrick Mahomes burst on the scene, every team in the AFC West drafted and acquired talent to try to beat the Chiefs. You can go back and look at it. Teams, it's all started with the defense. And now teams have decided, you know what, maybe it's not going to be the defense that's going to break down Patrick Mahomes, that's going to help them try to beat Patrick Mahomes. Maybe it's going to be the offense. Maybe they're going to try to outscore. So what do you see? Devontae Adams going to the Raiders, Russell Wilson going to the Broncos. You see a retooled Chargers team. These
right.
teams are standing together saying, we're trying to prepare for a 46-42 game against the Chiefs. That's what they're each preparing for. And you give that's a lot of credit to Andy Reid and Brett Veach, but at the same time, I feel really good about our team. I feel like this can be a team that can win a 7th straight AFC West Championship. And also, I kind of feel like the team that'll be right behind them is the Denver Broncos. They've been down that road before where they've had a solid defense. They put in a little-known quarterback named Peyton Manning, and then what? Lo and behold, they go to the Super Bowls. And I feel like that's the recipe that they're trying to follow this year in getting Russell Wilson. I think they're gonna be a formidable opponent.
I can't believe we're almost to kickoff. Do you remember the excitement and anticipation from when you were a player?
Oh, absolutely. Coming out of that tunnel at Arrowhead Stadium, I mean, there's nothing like Arrowhead Stadium. I know there's a lot of different fan bases, and people in Seattle might say differently. But if anybody's ever played at Arrowhead Stadium, it is an experience that is like no other around the NFL. So, yeah, I'm trying to contain myself and not look past the Arizona Cardinals, because that's where we have to go in week 1. But that Thursday night game, the first game on Amazon,
yeah,
against the Chargers, is going to be something special. It's going to be something similar to that Bills playoff game, and I'm looking forward to it.
There is a reason why there are so many of these AFC West games that are on primetime TV. Mm-hmm. You want to find Danen on Twitter at DAHughesGuy83, and he's a former Chiefs wide receiver, now part of the TV and the radio to cover this year's team, and really appreciate your memories of Lenny Dawson. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Oh, no problem. You can also follow me on Instagram, Danen Hughes, and I'll be doing some pregame stuff before each game, kind of keys to victory and so on. So trying to get a little bit more content out there. I think this season's going to be special, but thanks for having me.